Hello and welcome to the Parish Podcast. The sermon you're about to hear was delivered at the parish in Alpharetta, Georgia, and is meant to be heard within the context of our local church community. So if you've never been to the parish, you're missing a really big piece of the puzzle. We'd love to welcome you to join us anytime, and you can find more information or contact us by visiting our website at parishanglican.org.
So we're in this season called Eastertide. In Eastertide, we said on Easter Sunday when we were here, what it means is that we are living as gardeners in God's new world. So God, the Creator, who created Adam and Eve and placed them within a garden, the Garden of Eden, is back at work again in the world, creating new life. And the coolest part of it is that it's not just up to Him. He actually chooses to use us in that process to grow new life and new hope and new vision for the future. So we're gardeners in God's new world, and we're called to cultivate new creation wherever we go. For many of us, all we ever hear about is sharing the gospel with someone and telling people about Jesus, and that's a huge part of new creation. But it also means making your job better and making your marriage better and making your street better and making your school better. It means everywhere we walk, new creation should sprout up. So last week, we talked about how God's called us to be peacemakers. And so as gardeners, one of the biggest things, our roles in getting our hands dirty in new creation is to be peacemakers and to have the peace of Christ transform us and then reach out to transform people around us. Tonight, we're going to study something else, another role that God has given us in this process. And it comes from John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. So if you have your Bible, you can open up to John chapter 10. And if not, you can read it with me up on the screen. So here we go, John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Let's pray together before we begin. God, we want to open our hearts to what you have to say to us tonight about who you are as the good shepherd. God, many of us in this room will need that. We'll just need a reminder that you carry us and that you walk with us, that your love is relentless, that nothing can shake us from it, that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that you cast out fear. But God, also tonight, would you challenge us? Would you boldly challenge each one of us through your Spirit? That not only do we need to see you as a good shepherd, but that we need to follow your example as a good shepherd in this world. Holy Spirit, would you change something in us and help us to have the grace to walk in a different way after we hear from you and hear your word? It's in your name we pray. Amen. They're having fun back there. Okay, so every week, if you've been with us before, you've heard this, but we walk through something called the Revised Common Lectionary. It's basically a schedule of scriptures. So I don't wake up each week and go, hey, what should we think about this week? Most of the year, we're following a schedule along with Christians all around the world. So this morning in Nigeria, millions and millions of Christians woke up and went to church, and their pastor preached on John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. Same thing all over this country. Our Catholic brothers and sisters and Episcopal brothers and sisters and Presbyterian and Methodist, tons of different brothers and sisters all around the country are thinking about and listening to the Lord about this passage of Scripture. And each week, we get four different passages that we can choose from. There's a psalm, there's one in the Old Testament, there's one in the New Testament, there's one in the Gospels. And we get to pick, okay, which one do we want to talk about? Sometimes we open them up and we read them all and go, what? Like, this makes no sense. Like, the Old Testament is the weird and freaky prophecy stuff, and then the New Testament feels wonderful and, you know, peaceful, and then you get into, you know, you're reading the book of Revelation, and it's like, what is going on? This week is not that way. This week, you open up all four passages, and it just makes sense. We already read one of them, which was Psalm 23, the Good Shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd. And then in this passage, in John chapter 10, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. So if you're picking up on it, today is Good Shepherd Sunday. That's the theme of the day. It's Good Shepherd Sunday. And this is what we're talking about. And so whenever we talk about something like this, whenever you read Psalm 23, it may like put you to sleep. Like, it may make you feel like just calm and wonderful and warm and fuzzy inside. When you're trying to go to sleep, you count sheep. That's what you're supposed to do. Sheep make you feel peaceful. When I think about sheep, I think, you know, a job of being a shepherd must be like calm and quiet and idyllic. And, you know, David just goes out there and tends the sheep and writes songs all day. It must be wonderful. But we don't come from a place where we see sheep very much. So how many of you, did you see a sheep on the way to church tonight? Nobody saw a sheep. Did you really see, seriously? Okay, you were coming from a farm. Okay, one person saw a sheep. The contrarian in the group saw a sheep. But chances are that you've probably eaten more sheep than you've seen in your lifetime, okay? I know that's true for me. I've probably eaten more sheep than I've ever seen or interacted with. And the reality of being a shepherd is that it's a really tough job. It's a tough, thankless job. It's dangerous. It's risky. You're out on your own, or maybe with one other person, out in a field somewhere far away from society. There's wild animals, and the wild animals aren't just like running away from you in the woods. Like, they want to come get you. They want those sheep. So every day you have to deal with the dangers of all these animals that come against you. And it was just a menial task. Shepherds were rough around the edges. They were people that were kind of on the margins of society. And I mean, think about it. Like, if your wool sweater picks up lint in the dryer, imagine what a sheep picks up, like, as it just walks around in the woods. Like, a sheep is just gonna be nasty. It's just gonna carry all this stuff all day. And so it's a smelly, dirty job. If you've ever been to a petting zoo, I have only taken my kids to a petting zoo like once or twice. And whenever there's a sheep at the petting zoo, it's like, oh, that's wonderful. Let's not touch the sheep. Like, don't touch the sheep. It's smelly. That's the reality of what Jesus says when he says, I am the good shepherd. So it's not this wonderful, like, man, Jesus is such a great guy. This was kind of a scandalous thing to say, especially if you're a religious elite person. So if you're standing in Jesus' audience and you're wearing these rich robes, these ornamented robes that kind of say, look at who I am. I'm a leader and I am holier than you. And then Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. He's turning everything upside down. If it was today, he might say, I'm the good migrant worker. I'm the good person that you just don't even know about. The person that you don't even understand their world. You kind of marginalize me. So Jesus is humbling himself. He's placing himself as a sacrificial servant, saying that he would do anything for his sheep. And that's great. It's fun. That makes us feel positive. And so for many of us tonight, that may be what you need to hear, is that Jesus loves you. He cares for you lovingly. He's willing to debase himself and become a sacrificial servant because he loves his sheep so much. But that's what we see when I look at Jesus. When I look at Jesus, that's the picture I see. He's an amazing guy, like incredible that he would do something like this for me. But tonight isn't just about how we view Jesus. Tonight's scripture is also about how Jesus views us. There's something working in reverse here that's just as important. Because when Jesus uses the word good, when he says, I'm the good shepherd, he's using this Greek word kalos. And the Greek word kalos doesn't just mean good, like good and bad, like that was a good dinner, that was a bad dinner. This, it's a huge word. It has a lot of different meanings, a lot of depth to it. But one of the big meanings is the model shepherd. He's the example shepherd, the one that's so good that we should put it up in a place where we can see it and we can all emulate it, like the ideal shepherd. So Jesus isn't just saying he's the good shepherd, like good, not bad. He's saying he's the model shepherd. And as he takes care of us, he's also showing us the way in which we are called to care for one another. And so our other passage, our New Testament passage tonight that we didn't read earlier, it's from 1 John 3, verses 16 through 24. And here's a little bit of that. I think this plays into it perfectly. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we, us, people who are a part of the body of Christ, ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Yikes. Like, can we just stop and look at that for a minute? If anyone has material possessions, that's all of us in this room right now, and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Holy cow, how hard is that for us to understand? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. John, in this sense, as a pastor, pastoring his church, writing to them as their leader, is saying, not only is Jesus the good shepherd, but when Jesus looks at us, he sees that we need to be shepherds too. We need to be willing to sacrifice ourselves for each other. We need to be willing to get dirty and smelly and live on the outskirts of town and do the things that nobody else wants to do. We should be the ones following his lead. We talked about last week how, as gardeners in God's new creation, he's asking us and calling us to be peacemakers. Tonight, we're seeing that God is calling us to be shepherds. We are called to be shepherds of the body of Christ. We are called to take care of the community of God's people, to take care of one another, to love one another, and to engage one another in relationship. Now, the way that we say that around here a lot is community. We say that word quite a bit. In fact, community is one of our three values as a church. Formation, community, and mission. Community is huge for us. But we would be really foolish to think that we just put it up there and say, this is our value, and it's just going to happen. Like, people are just going to get to know each other. We're going to love each other, take care of each other, sacrifice for one another. That's foolish. Because in fact, community, when it comes to people coming together and giving up our lives for one another, it almost seems impossible at times. If you really dig into it, there's this great quote I wanted to share with you by Barbara Essex about community. She says this: forming authentic and holistic community is hard work. We dole out parts of ourselves in stingy bits and pieces, avoid being vulnerable with each other, hold back our feelings and thoughts, are afraid to confront each other, judge each other without mercy. We hold grudges. We set impossibly high standards for ourselves and for each other. Our good intentions are misunderstood and rejected. And we avoid commitments because we do not want to risk exploitation or abuse. We have a difficult time trusting each other, so how can we form community that is real and life-giving? That's true. Have you seen that? Not just in this room, but just in your life? Like, that's the reality of human beings. When we get together, our natural tendency is not to do what Jesus said. It's not to sacrifice ourselves for one another. Our natural tendency is to kind of go into our shell and only give out little bits and pieces of ourselves so that we don't get hurt. And so at the parish, just as a whole, as I kind of sit back and talk with you guys and meet one-on-one, meet in groups of people, what I see is that we're making a transition as a church. I don't know if you can feel this or not, but we're making a transition. It's an important transition. It's one that we need to go through. But when we first started and we were gathering together in the living room, everybody loved each other and nobody really even knew each other. So there wasn't even anything to be upset about. It was like, we're getting to know each other. We're having fun. Everything's new and wonderful and great. Everybody's smiling. And now we're getting into the mess of it a little bit. We're starting to get to know one another. And we're starting to realize, hey, if I'm going to actually dig in, I'm going to have to reveal parts of my life and who I am that I don't even want to. And people are starting to rub up against each other. Have you found somebody in the room that you know, maybe you're not going to be best friends in the world with? I hope you have, okay? I hope you found somebody that you're not going to be best friends with. That's okay. But we're starting to feel this tension of going, man, if we're really going to be a community, that's hard work. That's not easy. We're finding that unless we become vulnerable and share the hard places of our lives with someone else, we're never going to get to where we truly want to be. And we're realizing too, I don't know if you've realized this, that relationships don't come to us. Okay, so just because we walk in this room doesn't mean that our best friend is going to walk up to us and be like, oh my gosh, we're best friends forever. Let's hang out for the rest of our lives. It doesn't happen that way. We have to put ourselves out there. We have to initiate conversations. We have to have the courage to say, hey, do you want to get coffee? It feels like we're dating all over again, right? Like, we have to go through those awkward, strange moments. That's a part of what building community is all about. So we have a choice to make in this process. Do we want to do what Jesus said? Do we want to be the hired hand that he talked about? There's good things about being a hired hand, right? Because when you get tired of the sheep or they get stinky, you can put in your 2 weeks and move down the street to another flock of sheep and say, well, that flock of sheep looks nice. They look great. I like that pasture. They're going to be better fitted for me. I think that's going to be a better fit for me. So do we want to do that? Because that's an easy thing for us to do, for us to close ourselves off and say, nope, not here. I'm going to find a greener pasture. Or do we want to dig in and follow the example of the good shepherd and press through the difficult times and try and not just exist, but try to live life in community? We've got a choice to make. Are we going to listen to what 1 John taught us about giving up our lives for one another? Either we will or we won't. And I think the future of our church community rests on how we answer that question. So how do we do this? If we're bold enough to say, yes, we want to try this, like we want to take a step and move in this direction, how do we do this? I think it's simple. I think we follow the example that Jesus sets for us as the Good Shepherd. And I see, when I read this passage from John, I see three big things that Jesus does that we need to pay attention to. Jesus knows his sheep, Jesus cares for his sheep, and Jesus gathers his sheep. He does these three big things that he talks about. He knows them, he cares for them, and he gathers them. And as God looks at us and gives us this role of shepherd, and he says, come and follow me, the model shepherd, this is what we're called to do. First of all, just like Jesus knows his sheep, we must know one another. We got to start there. We just have to know one another. So Jesus says, I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. So as a shepherd, it doesn't work when you show up for your first day on the job and you circle all the sheep around and you go, hi, my name's Eddie. I'm a shepherd. I'm your shepherd. This is the way things are going to be. This is my voice. Used to it. Good. Follow me. Here we go. That doesn't work. You can't substitute teach sheep. You can't just walk in and write your name on the board and say, I'm Mr. Kirkland. I'm your shepherd. You have to spend time with them. It only happens with day after day after day and week after week investing time. And in the same way, we can't care for one another. We can't even begin to try and pick up, you know, the mess of our lives and care for one another if we don't even know one another. We have to spend time with one another. And if you're waiting for someone to get to know you, you'll be waiting forever. Okay? Hear that very clearly. You'll be waiting forever. We have to take the initiative and we have to step out and we have to begin getting to know someone else through spending time with them. This is the whole reason why we do our table groups. So if you've never seen that before, 1 week out of the month, we spend time not here in worship together, but we gather around dinner tables in different places in the city and we just have conversations. And I know some of you go, why do we do that? I'm an introverted person. I don't like that. That's so strange. Why do we do that? Well, it's not to just automatically give you friends, okay? When you walk into a table group, you don't automatically have friends. But it's to give you the opportunity to take a step in that direction. And you're going to walk away from your table group, and you're not going to walk away and go, man, all of those people were just the most amazing people. We could be friends with everyone. But maybe there's one that you walk away and go, man, that person's interesting. I wonder if we could just get to know each other a little bit. That's the point of table group. It's to give us the environment where we can take the risk and take that next step. So I want to challenge you. Some of us tonight, the challenge for us tonight is we just simply need to invest time to get to know somebody. Somebody in this room. Somebody who's not in this room, but who's a part of our body. Somebody that we just need to get to know. Secondly, Jesus knows his sheep, but he also cares for his sheep. So we have to care for one another. Jesus says that he lays down his life for the sheep. He sacrifices everything for them. He's not just a hired hand. He's not somebody that's just going to split and run when things get difficult. He's not in it for the paycheck. He's not in it for the glory. He's not in it because this is, you know, the sexiest bunch of sheep he's been around. He's not in it because any of those things are true. He's in it because he cares and loves these sheep. And in the same way, we need to be willing to sacrifice for one another as we serve one another. And this can come in a lot of different ways, okay? It can come in just spending time with one another. It can come in checking on someone. Have you had that happen where somebody just calls you and says, hey, just want to check and see how you're doing? As a part of building this church, for the first time, I've started to have people in my life that are teaching me what it means to be a real friend. And God is totally rewiring my view of what it means to be a friend, because some guys are willing to risk it to pick up the phone and go, hey, how you doing? I don't need anything from you. I just want to know how you're doing. And it's changing my world and changing the way that I view God and view other people. We need to find ways to sacrifice for one another. And the first thing that you're going to say, you're probably saying it right now in your mind, is I don't have the, time. I don't have the time. I don't have the time to do this. I don't have the time to sacrifice for other people. I'm already sacrificing so much for my kids, for my marriage. And yes, you are. And those are really good things. But let me just say tonight, you have the time. Everyone has the time. Everyone in this room has the same amount of time every single day, every single week. So when that voice comes up in your head, don't let yourself just say, I don't have the time. Say, I'm choosing to spend my time elsewhere. Because that's the truth. We all have the time. And we choose where we want to spend that time. Are we going to spend it on ourselves? Or are we going to take a risk and give these pieces of our time to caring for other people? So we got to know each other. We've got to care for each other. And the last thing is that just as Jesus gathers the sheep, we must welcome one another. And this is a big one. It's supposed to be point number three, but it looks like point number one there. So basic arithmetic, sorry. We must welcome one another. Jesus says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. When Jesus said that, when he said, I have other sheep that aren't of this sheep pen and I got to bring them in too, that was not looked upon very highly, because what he means is I'm going to reach outside of the family of the Jewish family of Abraham, and I'm going to reach out to these heathen Gentiles and start bringing some of them into our family. And they're going, no. We have fought so hard to be pure and to be good Jewish people and to follow your laws. You're just going to reach out and find these people on the margins that don't deserve to be here and bring them in? And Jesus says, yes. And so he's reaching out to the margins to bring people in. We need to do the exact same thing. So people in your mind, as you think about this, people might be on the margins because they're different than us. And we don't spend time with them. We don't invest in their relationships. Maybe they look differently than us. Maybe they talk differently than us. Maybe they're different age than us or different stage of life than us. And so we just say, you know what? We don't really get along. We're not very similar. We're just kind of let that relationship just kind of drift off into the margins. Maybe that's why these people are on the margins. Or even more difficult, maybe some people are on your margins. They're kind of out in the fields, you know, kind of out in the dirty sheep area because we put them there. Because someone has wounded us or hurt us or betrayed us, and we said, I'm done with you. And we just kind of shifted them out into the margins of life. And when we look at God and we try and follow the model of the Good Shepherd, maybe what he's calling us to do tonight is to say, wait a minute, who is it that we have marginalized and pushed out and said, I'm done with you? That Jesus says, no, they're a part of my sheep too. And I'm calling on you to be a shepherd and to chase after them and find them. No matter what, it's our job to reach out to those sheep and lay down our pride and find a way to care for them. So that's it. It's nothing crazy, nothing profound tonight, but we need to be shepherds in God's new creation. And so to do that, I want us to focus on three big questions. Who do you need to get to know? Is there a face that pops up in your head? Somebody in this community that you feel like maybe God said, yeah, you need to spend time with them, but you're not really willing to do that because you're just nervous about looking foolish or you're nervous about rearranging your calendar. Who do you need to get to know? Who do you need to serve? Maybe you've heard a story of somebody who's hurting right now. Or maybe you know somebody who actually needs an investment of your time or your attention. Who is it that you need to serve? And then finally, who do you need to welcome? Who is it that we need to welcome? Somebody that's on the margins. Maybe somebody that lives near you, or someone that you know, someone that you work with, or someone that used to be a friend, someone that used to be a part of the center, and we've kind of pushed out to the margins. Who do we need to welcome? We're called to be the gardeners of God's new creation, and we're called to take care of the sheep. So let's be brave enough to get messy and get our hands dirty and be stinky, smelly, sweaty shepherds, just like Jesus said that he was, and sacrifice our perfect realities for the sake of the sheep that we walk alongside. And let's pray that God would form us into a community of people that are willing to sacrifice our lives to care for one another. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, that sounds like perfect, and it sounds like something that you would say, that yes, we're supposed to follow you as the model shepherd, and we're supposed to care for people, and we're supposed to serve people, we're supposed to gather people. God, we know that that's true. We hear it, we see it. And yet again, we'll walk out of this room and the temptation will be for us to just keep moving with life and get our heads bogged down in the calendar and in all the different things that we have to do in our reality and just forget completely. That Good Shepherd Sunday is not just about looking to you and finding a smile on our face when we think of how much you love us. But it's seeing that you look at us and you see that we are called to be shepherds too. And when you look at us, you challenge us and say, I want you to follow me. I don't want you to just stay the way you are. I want to see you take steps towards becoming, just like me, a good shepherd. And so, Lord, would you give us the grace that we need to do this? I pray for those of us right now that as we pray that we think of a face of someone that we need to get to know, I pray that you'd give us the courage to not leave this room tonight without finding ways to get to know them. Now, without putting ourselves at risk to say, hey, let's connect. And God, help us to make the sacrifices that we have to make in our time to spend time with one another and get to know one another. And then when the caring needs to start and when the dark, difficult times come, I pray that you give us the grace to help carry one another. God, would you make us into a community of people who share your love as we do this, and help us to be known not for how smart we are or how small we are or how loving we are to one another, but that love wouldn't just come inside this circle, but it would extend outward to the entire world. And that this community would know that if you need to be loved, if you need a place to belong, if you need a place to be cared for by a good shepherd, that this is a great place to start. God, would you do that in us, in each and every one of our hearts, through the grace and power of your Son, and your Holy Spirit. It's in your name we pray. Amen.